Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. This week I'm talking about Genesis, the first opening chapters. I believe in the first three chapters of Genesis, we have the foundation laid for all of the most fundamental truths that we need to know in life. God has given us the Bible, His Word, to guide us in life. And we've looked at so far that the Bible opens with the words "in the beginning." The Bible is a story. It is the story of the very beginning of the universe all the way to the end of history, into the distant future. And stories give us meaning. Stories tell us who we are, why we exist, what our purpose is, and what we should be doing with our life. And that is exactly what God wants to communicate to us in the Bible. God wants us to know that we have a purpose, that it relates to Him, that He is the one who chose to create us. Because of that, He gives us meaning. And everything we do should be within that framework. How we understand what we're supposed to do with our lives should relate to what God tells us about our purpose in Scripture. So one thing we've looked at is that it is possible we have purpose because God has created the heavens and the earth. If we live in a universe that is just here by chance, that is just here with no explanation, and we just came about by random chance, and no one planned us or had a purpose for us, then life would be completely meaningless. There would be no reason for us to be here. We should just do whatever we want to do, get as much pleasure as we can out of this temporary life, but there's no real point to it all. And we can just choose what we want the meaning of our lives to be, but whatever we choose, it's just opinion. It's not really based in any reality. But because God has created, that means there is a plan behind this. There is a personal choice, a function for us to be here. That means there is the chance that we have purpose and meaning in our lives. And indeed, what I think the second fundamental truth of the Bible is that God is love, which means not only is it possible that there's a purpose for us, there is a purpose and meaning for our life. So we looked yesterday at the fact that God is revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the very first three verses of the Bible. Verse 1 talks about God the Father. Verse 2 talks about the Spirit of God hovering over the surface of the deep. And verse 3 talks about the Word of God being the means through which God created all things. And the Bible identifies this Word of God as the visible manifestation, incarnation, if you will, of the very glory of God. And the New Testament says that's who Jesus is. He is the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, John says, the glory of the one and only. Now, what this means is that God is love. And I told you today I'd explain how does that mean God is love. Well, think about what was God doing before He created the universe? And that's kind of an odd question because time itself did not exist until God created the universe. Even the space, you know, we kind of think of God creating the universe and He's kind of floating out there in empty space and He starts filling empty space with all the stars and planets. But actually, even empty space is part of this universe that God has created. And time itself is something God has created. So God is beyond everything that we understand about the physical universe. He created it all. But let's try to imagine what God was doing, in a sense, before He spoke the universe into existence. Doesn't really make sense to us, but I think it's helpful to kind of try to ask this question. Now, as we're picturing God this way in our kind of own human understanding of what God was like before the universe, if God is one and only one, guess what He cannot do? He cannot love. Because He's the only thing that exists. And in this model, we might think that God created human beings because He wanted to have someone to love. But that means that God never loved anyone until He created human beings. And that means that God's love is not inherently part of who He is. It's not part of His nature. It's something He started doing at some point in time. And so God could exist apart from love. And now this is the model of God from other religious traditions, that he is one and only one. But what the Bible reveals is that God has always existed, even before in the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That means that God had perfect love between the members of this triune God before there was a universe. He's always loved. He's always loved with a perfect love. And so when he created us, it's not that he only started to love then, it's that he began to share that love he always knew and experienced with us. And the fact that God is love, and what we're going to start to look at today, that God created us to be part of that love, that means that it is not only possible that there is purpose and meaning in life, there is purpose and meaning in life. God says in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals." So God makes mankind in his image, and this is we are the only ones in creation that the Bible says this about. We are a unique, special part of his creation. We are made like him in some sense, and as bearing his image, we therefore rule over the rest of creation. We represent God, if you will, to the animals and to the rest of creation because we are in God's image. God as creator rules over all the earth, but we as his image bearers are his representatives on earth to the rest of creation. And so a function of us being in the image of God is that we rule over it. But that is a function of, in other words, because we are in the image of God, therefore we rule over. That doesn't really get to the heart of what it means to be in the image of God. And the Bible really in the text only says one thing in particular about what it means to actually be in the image of God. It comes in Genesis 1 verse 27. It says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them." Notice there's a repetition, in the image of God. Mankind in his own image, in the image of God, and then male and female. Being made male and female corresponds to being in the image of God. And what we're going to look at as we get to the end of Genesis chapter 2 is this whole explanation of marriage, this joining of a man and a woman. And the conclusion of that section in Genesis 2:24 is, "That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." So this whole idea of being male and female is that two human beings become one. This is what we know of about God, that he is one God, yet there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so we are in the image of God in the sense that we have this one-person relationship with two joined together. And what marriage is, even though it can cause so much pain and hurt for so many people, and that's because of sin in the world, that's because of brokenness in the world, but the way God designed marriage, and even today I think if you can picture the ideal marriage, it is this sign of how two people become one and have this incredible love for each other that points us to the kind of love God experienced and experiences, and we're going to see this in the teachings of Jesus tomorrow. I'll share with you some verses of Jesus that show this. This is meant to point us to our purpose. We are created as image bearers of God so that we can love God and know his love for us just as God is love and has known love for all eternity. This is why God made us. This is our purpose. Nothing else in all creation has this purpose. This is why God made you. And that is the most fundamental truth you need to know before you can know anything else really meaningful in life. And we'll pick up here tomorrow. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.